Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 10th of October, 2024. Joined today by Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Sabrina Halverson with the news, including the new harvest weather forecast and beef producers not happy with recent happenings at the White House. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has some changes in the recent consistent weather pattern. And yesterday's grain and oilseed markets mixed before the USDA October report due at noon Eastern time today. Mike Silver analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
When it comes to buying seed, you can have your cake and eat it too when you order from Seed Genetics Direct. Finance your 2025 seed order through SGD financing and receive a 2% discount off your purchase. Plus, pay 0% interest through January 2026. 2% off the top plus 0% financing from the fastest growing independent seed company in the Eastern Corn Belt? Now that's a slice of cake no grower can turn down. Seed Genetics Direct. Value, knowledge, performance. It's in their genetics.
A check of your Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast and a recent White House event slammed by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's. This National 4-H Week, McDonald's of Greater Indiana salutes all past, present, and future farmers all across the Hoosier State. Well, there are some changes to that wide-open harvest window that we've been talking about here recently, at least for northern Indiana. Eric Pfeiffer joins us now with more.
Yeah, thanks, CJ. Ryan Martin, Seed Genetics Direct Harvest Weather Forecast has Canadian cold air moving in this weekend, and with it, the chance of some moisture. He says the threat isn't huge, maybe some hit-and-miss scattered showers, particularly in northeast Indiana.
And then we transition into just some spit and sprinkle activity later Sunday through Monday and into early Tuesday. Most of the spit and sprinkle action is due to stronger cold air flow across very warm Great Lakes regions. In northeast Indiana, I'm going to say watch for anywhere from a few hundreds to a few tenths, and that could spread about over 30% of the northern part of the state. That's all. The rest of us are going to stay dry.
Now, the other part of that equation is the cold air.
We are looking at frost and freeze conditions on three separate periods. Overnight Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. So that's where we can see frost and freeze statewide. The cold air dives all the way down through the Ohio Valley.
Martin's forecast does call for a significant warm-up late next week, Thursday through Saturday.
We're putting together a dry period there as well. I don't see any significant rain until we get into early parts of the week of the 21st. So I think that we're going to be seeing dry windows of opportunity. Good for running corn here. Beans, it should be done soon anyway. The cool temperatures for next week early on may slow the drying right out of the gate in the morning, but we're still looking at a pretty nice setup for harvest, all things considered.
Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast details can be in your inbox each Saturday morning. Just sign up to receive the Hoosier Ag Today e-newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
An event hosted at the White House this past week focusing on ag producers has been slammed by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Sabrina Halverson has more.
Definitely a different event than what was advertised, I think, to those that were invited a few weeks back.
Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the event was a missed opportunity to address the real concerns of cattle producers. The White House event, which was intended to highlight the Biden administration's support for farmers and ranchers, did not include the NCBA, though some smaller chapters had been invited. According to Lane, many of the attendees represented more niche interests with a slant toward organizations supportive of government intervention in cattle markets.
Very much with a bent towards groups like Farm Action, which the Animal Ag Alliance in the last year has identified as an animal activist extremist group, rather than the ag group that they would like to portray themselves as.
One topic that Lane says he would have addressed with the White House is cattle pricing.
The cattle industry is a big, diverse industry. There are a lot of viewpoints. We have a lot of state affiliates with very different policies. Nothing is ever clean when it comes to cattle markets and how we price cattle and all that kind of stuff. Whenever you see an administration coming in claiming to fix the cattle market or in any other way insert themselves into the free market at the request of a very small group of producers to the detriment of the majority of producers out there, and doing so in a very blatant way, it is off-putting. It's disrespectful to hundreds of thousands of cattle producers across the country who have built their businesses around making premiums for investments they have made in higher and higher quality cattle.
Lane says the event failed to address the real challenges that cattle producers face, though he does acknowledge the administration's efforts in response to devastating hurricanes that have left many producers in extremely challenging positions. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a few changes to our weather pattern that we've grown so accustomed to working towards us here. The changes mostly center around a cold air breaking loose out of Canada and wanting to move south over the region. But we're going to be seeing a few other things happen because of that. Let's step through it here. Your Friday's still looking great. Sunny, warm, and dry. It's another fantastic harvest day across pretty much all of the Hoosier State. We go into tomorrow with sunshine to start, but seeing a little minor disturbance in the advancing cool air trying to pop up near the western end of Lake Erie, so northwest Ohio. And I think we have to watch in northeast Indiana for a little bit of this disturbance as well. Some clouds on and off in eastern and northeastern parts of Indiana through tomorrow afternoon and evening, and that will go right on into early Sunday morning. Can we see precipitation? Well, at this point, I'm not going to rule it out. I don't think precipitation is a big story for most of the state. I just think we see more clouds around as we finish out Saturday. We are going to be seeing cold air try and push into the Great Lakes on Sunday. Most of the moisture on Sunday stays up in Michigan, but once again, in northern tier counties of the Hoosier State, we may have to watch for some clouds and some hit-and-miss activity. This could go into early Monday because, honestly, I'm seeing signs of lake effect precipitation setting up here. The change in air mass is going to be so dramatic from warm to cold. Our bodies of water, Lake Michigan in particular, still quite warm, and we're going to bring strong north winds down the fetch of that. I think clouds are into northern Indiana through most of Monday, at least morning to midday, and I won't rule out some lake effect spits and sprinkles. Now, the rest of the state, we see nothing. So again, everything that we're talking about on moisture here from tomorrow through Sunday night is mostly a northern and maybe even northeastern Indiana thing. You get south of US 24, it's just game on, business as usual, with the exception of cold air, where everybody's going to be seeing the cold air here as we move through the first 3 days of next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Frost and freeze conditions statewide, three nights potentially, Sunday night, Monday, Monday night, Tuesday, and Tuesday night, Wednesday. By the time we get to Wednesday afternoon, we're going to start to see the high-pressure dome shift a little bit farther to the east. The south flow comes back, and we should be much warmer to finish the week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, warm and dry in there as well. So we're going to continue to see ample opportunity for harvest from now through all of next week, through the entire 10-day forecast window. Even in areas where we talked about clouds and some spits and sprinkles, it's very minor moisture, all things considered. The bigger moisture stays north in Michigan, so I don't think there's anything that kicks us out of the field long term. I think the cold air pattern is one that probably delays how fast we can get started on things each morning, but still not a lot of complaints with regard to harvest. Watching a frontal boundary try to come together in the Great Plains for the 19th into the 20th, it may be able to throw some moisture our way the week of the 21st. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Down in corn and beans, wheat goes a little higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review, and I'll have the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. For that, at the end of trade, I spoke with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike, we had mixed markets as corn and beans traded lower all session long, wheat just a little bit higher, so some differentials there we'll let you explain. Overall, though, somewhat quiet in corn and beans as we get set for USDA, noon Eastern time on Friday.
USDA World Outlook Board report tomorrow at noon, yes, sir. We started out the morning with the weekly export sales numbers. The sales of corn, soybeans, and wheat were generally as expected, but a little bit lower than last week, but they fell within the range of the analyst estimates. Corn came in about at 1.222 million metric tons, which was down from last week. Last week we had 1.684. Mexico and unknown destinations accounted for roughly half of last week's corn sales totals. Sales of soybeans also slipped from last week. They were solid at 1.264 million metric tons, including 583,400 to China. Meal sales, however, fell to a marketing year low, so really no support to the bean complex from the soybean sales. The wheat market was also slower at 433,600 metric tons, 2% decline from the week before, but 31% above the four-week average. And Mexico was the only buyer above 100,000 metric tons of wheat last week. So all in all, the wheat export sales numbers were acceptable. And all the export sales numbers, corn, soybeans, and wheat, were acceptable. If we look at the pace to meet the USDA balance sheet projections in terms of export sales for the marketing year as of the September report, and we'll probably see a little bit of adjustment to our export numbers in the report tomorrow, but we're down 2% from the pace we need to be to meet those projections. In corn, we're down 7%. In the soybeans, in the wheat, basically, we are just about where we need to be. In fact, we're about 2% above where the estimates are in the export projections for wheat. Now, the next major item, obviously, we talked about it, and I said I'd visit a little bit about it, is that WASDE report out tomorrow. We don't expect really any significant changes tomorrow from the September report, although, as we history has shown, these reports can provide some real surprises. But these reports will incorporate the numbers that came out in the quarterly grain stocks report on September 30th. So we'll see some adjustments in some of the numbers, especially probably in the carryout numbers. Yield numbers aren't expected to change a lot. U.S. corn yield, the average trade estimate going into the report is 183.4 bushel an acre. We were 183.6 in the September report. Soybeans, the average trade estimate is 53.1. And in the September report, we were 53.2. The ending stocks projections for 24-25 crop year, that's the crop we're harvesting now, The production estimate, let me say, the production estimate is 15.155 billion bushels. And in September, last month's report, we were 15.186. So that's a little lower on the average trade estimate versus last month on the production. The soybeans, the production average trade estimate is 4.579 billion bushel. And last month we were at 4.586 per USDA. The carryout numbers, and that will be the August 31st, 2025 carryout number. The corn number, the average trade estimate going into the report is 1.962. And in September we were 2.057. So that average estimate is down from the report last month. The soybean ending stock estimate is 549 million bushel, and last month it was 550. So that's down just a little bit on the estimate. The wheat last month, the ending stocks estimate was 819 million, and the September number was 828. So a little bit lower on that average estimate from the September number. And we'll see some adjustments in the world carryout numbers too in tomorrow's report. So today's trade, basically, we traded both sides of yesterday's close, a little higher, a little lower. And it looks like going into the close here this afternoon that corn's going to be down a couple pennies and beans down 5 to 6 and wheat up 5 cents, it looks like. And if we compare that to where we closed last Friday, we're down 6 cents in December corn. We're down 23 cents in November soybeans, and we're up 14.5 cents. From Friday's close in December wheat futures. So we'll see what USDA has to say tomorrow. As I said, the trade is not expecting significant changes, although we know there'll be some change tomorrow in that report. Harvest, I want to speak a minute about harvest progress. We have made a lot of progress this week in corn, primarily soybean harvest, but also in corn harvest. Last Monday, we were, as a country in the 18 states that accounted for 96% of the corn production last year, we were 96% of the soybean that were harvested last year, we were 47% harvested. The I states were, and that would be Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, 42, 36, and 58, respectively. And in the corn progress, as of Monday, the U.S. was 30%, and for the 18 states that account for 93% of the 2023 production, 30% was the corn was harvested. The I states, Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, 32, 29, and 22, respectively. So significant progress was made this week. So when the report comes out Monday, of this coming week, we should see again a week of significant harvest progress in the report Monday. So we'll look forward to that, see what happens in the crop progress report Monday. Yields, Andy, here in Indiana continue to be reported very good. Some records, tar spot did have some negative impact on in select counties, especially where the efficacy of the herbicide, fungicide applications were not effective, or folks did not use a fungicide. But for the most part, yields are very good, and Indiana could still produce record corn and soybean yields this year, which at the price levels we're at right now is a very welcome thing. And as far as prices are concerned, we'll see what USDA says tomorrow, and that will definitely have an impact as this Harvest 24 is moving along quite rapidly, Andy, and with the weather forecast for the Corn Belt and the majority of the major corn and soybean producing states in the United States, we've got a wide open window, so harvest should progress along here very fast.
Analysis from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number, 800-666-0613. Now, the Thursday settlements, 2.5 cents lower on December corn. It dips to 418.5. March, 436.25, down a penny and 3/4. 5.5 lower, Novi and January beans. November, 1014.75. January down to 1031.5. Again, both contracts, a nickel and a half lower, and 4.75 up on December wheat, 603.75. The meat's higher in the end as well. December live cattle, 188.27, up a dollar and a nickel. And December lean hogs, 76.95, up 137. You're up to date on the markets. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.